Friends, welcome this morning. Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Gracious God, you are our refuge. You are our strength. And so we look to you this morning to reveal to us the important truths that you have for us this morning as we talk about relationships, as we talk about love and respect and the ways that you have wired us. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather, to enjoy a meal together, to sing praise, and to do all the things that we are going to do here this morning. We ask that you would open your word to us and that you would break down any barriers that would hinder us from hearing what you have this morning. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our series on love in 1 Corinthians 13. And we have a very special topic this morning on love and respect. And before we get going, everybody, we need to make a pledge together. A pledge together, and the pledge is this. So if we need everybody to raise your right or left hand, it's up to you. Say this. I pledge not to say I told you so at any point this morning. Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. This morning we're talking about relationships. We're talking about love and respect and the basics of relationships with any person. Man, woman, doesn't matter. And we're operating off a basic premise. And once we have this basic premise down, I think we can move forward with the rest of this morning. The basic premise is this, that men look at life through blue sunglasses and blue hearing aids, and women look at life through red sunglasses and red hearing aids. Let me explain. This premise is geared for us to help us see that men and women view life differently. We have different worldviews. Oh, it fell off. It was teetering there. We look at things differently, men and women do. We have different ways of communication. We have different ways to express feelings and emotions. We even hear and interpret things differently. I can hear something and laugh it off, and Denise would hear the exact same thing and may have a much different reaction. We're wired differently. And my friends, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, wrong with this. I want to be very clear on that. There is nothing wrong with this. And while there is nothing wrong with this, it does mean we need to be aware of the differences in how we communicate and how we operate. And once we're aware of those differences, I think it will help us long term in keeping out some of the struggles that we have in our relationships. My prime example of this is the Hallmark Channel. Okay? Viewership of the Hallmark Channel reaches the millions during the Christmas season, because they run these self-produced movies 24/7. And that's the focus of love of the season. Now, I make the running joke that if you've seen one Hallmark movie, you've seen them all. But without fail, right after Thanksgiving, the Hallmark Channel fires up their movies for the season. Now, through the lens of red sunglasses, these movies are rosy, and the girl always ends up with her true love and always has a wonderful time. All is well. Now, if you're wearing blue sunglasses, oh man, these films can't end soon enough. The problem is, they run one right after another. And so my continual prayer is that if Denise is on a Hallmark movie marathon, that she's seen the next one coming up, so that way we can change it. Otherwise, I'm in for the long haul. Now, I know that's a little dramatic, yes, but I think you get the point. Men and women view life differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if we don't recognize it, I think it can lead to a lot of struggle and tension when it comes to our relationships. I have another example for us this morning, and this time it points to a man's inherent desire to fix everything. Take a look.
And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know. know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail...
See, you're not even listening.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
I gotta keep things my way. So I have to keep on talking till I can go.
Now, I take no credit whatsoever in making that. That was film producer Jason Headley. Does some really funny stuff. But I think we get the point that we operate differently. And men and women gathered here today, we're going to continue talking about love. We're going to continue talking about respect. And I think it's important to recognize the differences that we have, the different needs we have in relationship. And these needs go into any relationship we have, whether it's with a spouse or a family member or even a neighbor or a coworker. Maybe it's even a classmate. And I think what we're going to talk about today spans all of these relationships. And the truths and principles these apply to most clearly are the relationships with the people that we love the most. Many of the points that I'm going to be highlighting today are in a book entitled Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and it's in your notes there. I would definitely check it out. That book focuses specifically on marriages, but this morning we're going to expand that out even more to talk about the relationships with our loved ones. And to start, we need a foundational point. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 13, where we have been, and also move to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 through 33. So, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 sounds like this, and maybe you've heard it. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And then Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, chapter 5, verse 31. It says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illusion, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Our focus this morning is on the notion that humanity is longing for two things, actually. Humanity is longing for love, which we've been covering over the last several weeks. And the one we'll talk about in a little more detail this morning is respect. Love and respect. The degrees of this love and respect vary between men and women, down to even a very specific man or very specific woman. But the overarching theme is true. We long for these things in every relationship, especially in marriage, but even in relationships with our colleagues, family, and neighbors. When we're not respected, it tears into us. If we don't feel that fundamental sense of respect, it's much harder to go to work. And if you're not being respected at home, it's harder to drive home at the end of a long day. Or after spending time with family and friends who you do love and respect you, it's harder to go back to a relationship where respect isn't there. And when we don't feel like we're getting the respect or love we feel like we need, we end up on what's called the crazy cycle. So what happens here is our communication, our relationships, because women see life through their red sunglasses and are desiring love. When something happens that's unloving, the natural thing to do is react, pretty much negatively. And it can be disrespectful. If the relationship is with a spouse or a loved one who happens to be male, who is looking through his blue sunglasses and listening through life through his blue hearing aids, he feels disrespected. He reacts, and boom, the crazy cycle goes round and round. And it looks a little like this. So we have an unloving act, which leads to a negative reaction, which leads to a disrespectful act, which leads to a negative reaction, and round and round and round and round we go. It goes round and round until we look at each other and we say, who is this person that I'm in a relationship with? And why is it so hurtful? It could be a family member, spouse, friend, parent, grandparent, you name it. And when we get on this crazy cycle, when this really gets going, we make every negative assumption about a person. We assume that ill will is all that is intended from this person. It makes us critical. And the crazy cycle spins faster and faster and faster. There's a lot of pain on the crazy cycle. There's a lot of hurtful words, a lot of assumptions made. And while on this cycle, we see a lot of feelings pop up, feelings and actions that the Apostle Paul in later letters talks about getting rid of. Feelings like greed, impurity, lust, evil desires, pride, sexual immorality, idolatry, anger, rage. It's not fun being on the crazy cycle. And the likelihood of these feelings, these emotions happening while on this go up because we're not ourselves when our core relationships aren't functioning correctly. We're not seeing relationships the way God had intended. We're not seeing them the way God wants us to see them when we're on this cycle. And when we're in conflict with someone else, it completely throws off our mindset. And mindsets start to look like this. One could be, my significant other or family member doesn't respect me right now. Or number two, my significant other or family member doesn't love me right now. Those are the two mindsets we get to. We have a slide for that? Oh, well, it's in your notes. So write that down. My significant other family member doesn't respect me right now. My significant other family member doesn't love me right now. Those are the two mindsets. And now when the conflict is taking place, men and women will have these different mindsets and different feelings and different reactions when the crazy cycle is going on. When these statements were posed to a group of men, and they were asked to select one on how they felt, A or B, 82% selected A. Let that sink in for a second. It wasn't so much that they didn't feel like they weren't being loved. The more important thing was that they didn't feel like they were being respected. Respect is very important to men. But guys, we have to be careful. And remember the pledge we made together this morning, that we don't say, I told you so, to our significant others or family members sitting around us, okay? So keep that in mind. But what we do is we take this information. We understand why we get upset during arguments and relationship struggles. We begin to process through what happens when we feel like we're being disrespected and how we can channel those feelings and learn to discuss them without completely blowing our stack. Reactions that take place during this crazy cycle that we've been talking about include things you're probably familiar with, like stonewalling. Everybody familiar with stonewalling? When you're in an argument, when you're in a discussion, you're like, I'm done. Stonewall. Or the verbal explosion, when you absolutely explode every word that you think of, it just comes out of your mouth, and all of a sudden it's a volcano of whatever comes out. During those verbal explosions, we can see belittling, criticizing, scolding, yelling, anger, dirty looks, attitudes. It's awful. And all of this piles up in our relationships, and it hurts really bad. And it can feel like we're never going to get off this cycle. And our actions sometimes keep us on this cycle. And our fears keep our feelings elevated. And here are some of the fears and feelings we have while we're on this crazy cycle and we keep talking about relationships. We see that one person fears being a doormat in the relationship, and the other one is just tired of not getting it. One person worries about being a hypocrite. The other complains that they're not getting any respect. One person thinks that they can't forgive, while the other says no one can love that person. And all of this continues to spin the crazy cycle. And the issue with these statements is that there is an underlying assumption of ill will toward each other that can ruin any relationship you're in. The assumption that the other person you're in relationship with means ill will toward you can crush any opportunity for Christ's light to shine through whatever you're doing. We get so critical of people when this happens. We get so tainted with pain that it turns us off even from trying. So we quit trying. Which is one of the reasons I think marriages are ending, because people have gotten on this vicious cycle and have had no resources to get off of it. And it hurts. And it's painful. So what do we do? I'm glad you asked. A couple of these things aren't going to be simple, so just let it sink in for a second. One, we need to show unconditional respect and unconditional love. Now, the second one seems pretty simple, right? Unconditional love, everyone's familiar with that. But unconditional respect seems like an oxymoron, because respect, we think, should be earned, right? But that's not the case when you're in a relationship with a friend or a family member or a loved one. That's just not the case. We need to offer respect, knowing that it's important to both men and women. So we need to show unconditional respect, even if we don't deserve it, even if they haven't earned it. We need to show respect. Secondly, we need to work hard assuming the good in loved ones and family members in your life. That's a tough one. Now, this may take a lot of reconciliation and prayer, but with God's strength, we can find forgiveness and we can find hope. So we assume the good in the loved ones we have. Women, we need to... I'm not a woman. Women, I knew I'd do that. I made even a note in my notes not to do that. But women, love the men in your life by showing them respect in ways that are meaningful to them. Case in point, Denise and I were first dating in college, and Valentine's Day rolled around. And a couple days before, she said, "What would you like for Valentine's Day?" And I said what any 19, 20-year-old person would. I said, "I'd like a steak." I was a poor college kid and was hungry. I was like, I love a steak. And we laughed it off and had a good time. But sure enough, a couple days later, Valentine's Day rolled around, and she comes to me with a grocery store sack wrapped, and she said, "Here." I said, "What is this?" She said, "It's a steak." And I knew right then I was going to marry that woman. That was a fantastic gesture of love for me, a meaningful way that I loved and knew she respected me. Now, I knew she was just playing along, but she got right to my heart. She showed me respect in a way that was meaningful to me. Now, yes, that's a silly example, but it proves the point. And finally, men, we need to love the women in our life by showing them love in ways that are meaningful to them. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the love languages. Spend some time finding out what your family member's love language is. Even if you need to check out the book, I know we've got some in the library, but find out what that love language is and make sure that those ways are meaningful to them. If this is the true desire of your heart and your head, to see these relationships done well, then you can get off the crazy cycle and end up on what's called the energizing cycle. It looks like this. A loving act motivates a respectful act. And a respectful act motivates a loving act. Now that's fun to look at. That's fun to see. That's something that's very God-honoring, something that God has called us to. A loving act motivates a respectful act, and a respectful act motivates a loving act. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You say, "Yeah, this may work for me and this may work for others, but you don't know my spouse, significant other, or family. They are crazy." And that may be true, but we have to put all of those thoughts aside. We have to put all of our negative assumptions aside and trust the fact that a loved one means no ill will towards you. That's going to be tough. That's going to take God's grace. But but I know He will provide. We've got to realize that we're all trying to connect relationally. We just express it very differently. And if we're not tuned into the fact that men and women wear blue sunglasses and hearing aids, and women wear red sunglasses and red hearing aids, then we'll keep talking past each other in every relationship, and the frustration will just continue. Now, in the process of getting on the energizing cycle, it doesn't mean we give up our glasses. It doesn't mean we turn in our man card. We don't immediately quit watching Hallmark movies. You can still be the person that God wants you to be with the interests that you have. What this boils down to is communicating better with loved ones, with family members, cherishing those relationships. Try this on for size. Families, if you have a male child in your life, say 10 years old or older, whether it's a grandchild, child, close family member, maybe it's a nephew, tell them this week what you respect about them. I'll give you a second to let your mind wrap around that one. Tell them what you respect about him this week. Now, I know this young man may be annoying or messy or rude or gross or burping or nose-picking or stinky. He may be a teenage mess. But find a way for 30 seconds to share one or two things you respect about him. It may make all the difference in the world. If you're married, try doing the same thing with your husband. Even if this man can be annoying, messy, rude, gross, burping, nose-picking, stinky adult mess, find a way for 30 seconds to share one or two things you respect about him. And do this with no expectation of anything in return. Let that light bulb come on in his head that you respect him. The same thing is true for our gentlemen this morning. Your goal this week is to find a few of the ladies in your life, whether it's a daughter, wife, grandparent, niece, mother, and spend some time expressing what you love about them. In both cases, think this out. Especially our guys, because with words and things, sometimes good, not so much with words and stuff. We don't express ourselves well in verbal form often. So even if you need to list it out on your phone, on a piece of paper, on the back of an envelope, in an email, in a Facebook message, find some time to get some thoughtful words written out. It'll make all the difference in your relationships. Because when we express this, when we mean it with no expectation in return, it can change the entire outlook of a relationship. It changes our perspective on the important people in our lives. And it completes this thought on love, because it's about love and respect. And all of this comes full circle when we get back to talking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We realize that God is not only one to be loved, but one to be respected as well. This week, as you're making your list of things you love and respect about each other, take a moment to write out what you respect about God. Not what you love about God, but what you respect about God. It's a much different conversation. It's a much different list. You see, I respect the fact that God gave so much to save me. I respect the fact that Jesus was willing to go against every cultural norm. I respect the way God shows His love, and that He's giving me just an insight every single day to just for a smidge understand it. I respect how God was trying to guide His people in the Old Testament, even if it was showing tough love from time to time. I respect how willing God is to forgive, even when we don't deserve it. And I respect God for the ways that He has guided me in my life. Now, I could change all of those phrases into love phrases, but the meaning would be different. We could say that we love God for all of these things, but that would only be half the story. We'd be missing the part where we're having this feeling of deep admiration brought out by His abilities, His qualities, and His achievements. That's respect. To admire God for who He is and for what He's done. And in turn, because we respect God, we also respect and love those He has created in relationships. So this morning we've talked about love and respect, we've talked about the crazy cycle, we've talked about the energizing cycle, and how all of this gets back to our relationship with God. And in light of all we've discussed this morning, I want us to hear these words again from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love and respect is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love and respect never give up and never lose faith. They're always hopeful, and they endure through every circumstance. My friends, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you praise for who you are, for what you've done, and we thank you for the people that you have put in our lives. We pray this week that we would sit down and take seriously how one another communicate, that we would recognize that men and women communicate differently in every relationship, whether it's a spouse, family member, friend, loved one, that we would take time to write out what we respect and what we love about the people in our lives. Lord God, help us where we need to forgive. Help us where we need to show love. Help us where we need to show respect. And guide us this week as we continue to work on all of these. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.